Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It is so good to see you all gathered here as we celebrate the resurrection of our risen Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. What a beautiful day, what a beautiful opportunity that we have to gather here as the body of Christ, and I am so glad that you are here. Welcome. Whether you are visiting with us in person here or online, I am so glad that you have chosen to worship with us here at Revolution. I want to go ahead and dismiss our kids for Revolution Church. This is for kindergarten through fifth grade. They can go upstairs. We have Coop, who's going to be doing our teaching. We also have, for our kiddos five and under, we have some activity bags in the back. If they're not all passed out already, Allison might have a few extra. They're welcome to stay here in the service with us. We also have a volunteer upstairs with one of my children and a few others. If you would like to send them upstairs as well, that isn't available for you this morning. They are welcome in both spaces. As one mom said this morning, going to embrace the chaos and the joy and the noise of Easter. And I'm like, amen, amen. I'm right there with you. So our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24, and this is verses 1 through 10. Okay, Megan, the one opening is from a few weeks ago. This one should be... Okay, there we go. Nope. It should be Luke number 7, if you see it. I'll read it from here. Luke 24, verses 1 through 10. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this morning, and we respond, thanks be to God. We return to this scripture this morning to retell the story that is so familiar to us. It's the story of the resurrection of Christ. It's the same story I read last Easter in the Gospel of Luke. It is our central defining moment as Christians and believers in Jesus. It is the story of a king born in a stable, then living and teaching through a time of oppression and political turmoil and violence and fear. It is a story of an innocent man arrested and executed in the tomb that now stands empty. It's an astounding story from beginning to end, is it not? And this is a defining story for us, one that we know well because we are an Easter people. We believe in the power of resurrection. We believe in the power of change and new life. Many of us have experienced our own stories of transformation, and we are living out what it means to have new life in Christ. I mean, at our core, we are a people of hope. And it is because of this defining story. You know, as I read through the account again this year, there was one verse that stood out to me. And it was the question from the men in dazzling apparel. I loved that. These angelic beings, some might say, the representatives of God in this sense, these dazzling men standing by the tomb, and they asked this question: Why do you seek the living among the dead? You know, in the other gospel accounts, in Matthew and Mark, the basic details are the same. The men appear, they say to the women, "Do not be afraid. We know that you were looking for Jesus, but he's not here. And now go tell the disciples about it." I mean, we see that pattern in all the other gospels when you go to the end of the gospel and you read the resurrection account. But Luke is the only account where the men ask this question, where the men ask the women who come to the tomb, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" The women went to the tomb with their spices early that morning after the Sabbath had ended to continue the ritual to honor Jesus' body. They went to a tomb expecting to find his body there because that is the function of tombs, to house dead things. And what they instead discover is that the tomb is empty because Jesus is not there. He is not dead. And this question struck me this year because it was as if they were saying to the women, "Hey, you are looking for Jesus in the wrong place. You are looking for him among dead things. But he is not here because he is alive." And it made me pause and wonder, man, do we ever look for Jesus in the wrong places? Do I ever look for Jesus in the wrong places? I mean, maybe we can see this when different churches become so obsessed with explaining their doctrine and beliefs so that all their members believe correctly, but they fail to have right practice. It's that difference between like orthodoxy and orthopraxy. It's having right belief, but also right practice of faith. It's like we can become so concerned about explaining and defending that which cannot be explained logically. The tomb is empty. These mysteries of our faith. We can become so obsessed with sort of explaining that and defending it that we forget to actually practice the ways of Jesus and his generosity and his service and his care and his love for people. I mean, it would be like reading this story and becoming so hyper-fixated on that empty tomb and how it happened that we forget to go and look for Jesus among the living, to find Jesus alive with us now, to see Jesus in the eyes of every single person we encounter. Looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Or maybe it's in our personal lives when these moments of despair or death or suffering or challenge, and we can get so consumed there, so fixated there, that we forget to look for signs of hope in Jesus' presence that is with us even in those dark places. And we see it today in people who are so desperate to find a sense of peace and security, and sometimes even influence. I mean, they're so desperate to find Jesus that we end up blindly following leaders who claim the name of Christ. Blindly following in this desperate search for a sense of security, we're following blind leaders who claim the name of Christ but use it for their own purpose and gain and victory. Y'all do know that that's the actual definition of using the Lord's name in vain. It's not cursing in saying God in the same sentence. It's not cursing with the name of God. That's what I thought as a very small child. It's actually claiming Christ's purposes and using that sort of as a shield to defend your own agenda, your own plan, your own triumph. And then, like, as if that defends and blesses, like, the morally reprehensible or violent things that are happening right now. But in this desperate search of people wanting the sense of security, we're seeing believers in Jesus blindly follow, believing these earthly leaders will take us there. But along the way, what happens is these folks end up picking up the same tools of their oppression, the same tools like hate and shame and hate for their neighbor, and war. thinking that that is the way to security and peace, but instead it only leads to destruction. Looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. But maybe another way to ask this is just to say, are we looking for him at all? Are we looking for him at all? I hear from so many people in my life, time and time again, especially folks that I maybe knew in younger years who have stepped away from faith and have stepped away from church because they've become so disoriented and so discouraged by the witness of the church right now that they don't even know what to believe or what to do. It's hard to find Jesus in the mess of it all. And so maybe they've just given up on looking for him at all. Maybe you know someone who's in that space right now. Maybe you yourself are close to that space right now. And what you come here for desperately is for a word of hope. And like Jesus, we are living through our own violent and chaotic and fearful times. I mean, friends, it's easy. It's easy to become stuck in despair. It's easy to start believing that nothing can change. It's easy to start believing that your life will always be this way, that what you're struggling with now will never end. It's easy to believe that nothing will get better, that I will never get through this. And underneath it all is sort of this quiet belief that change isn't even possible. And I'm talking about change in your own life, change in a community, change in our city, change for our world. I came across the words from a Christian speaker and author, Tyler Merritt, who said this: the world is trying really hard to convince you right now that hope is stupid. It is, that believing in people is naive, that kindness is weakness, that caring too much just means you haven't figured out how the world really works. But here's the thing, he says. Hope was never stupid. Hope refuses to accept that cruelty gets the final word. Hope looks at a world full of division and still chooses empathy. Hope looks at hatred and chooses love anyway. Hope is standing up for people when it would be easy to stay quiet. Hope, he says, is showing up for each other again and again and again and again. And that is not naive. That is courage. Every time someone chooses compassion over cruelty, every time someone chooses understanding over fear, every time someone chooses love over hate, the world moves forward just a little bit. Hope, my friends, is believing that change is possible. Hope is believing that things can and should be better. Hope is believing that that better future is possible. And we have this hope because Jesus lives. He is alive, and he is doing a new thing. Christ is ushering in a new kingdom and a new way to live, and he's saying, come on, follow me. And he promises a resurrection and transformation and change, not just back then, but today, for each of us here and for all of creation, so that we too might realize that new kingdom with Christ. We have this hope because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, his love changes us. The love of God changes us. And we are here today to bear witness to that. The way we choose to love others in response to this love that God has so lavishly poured out on us. Friends, the way that we choose to respond to that love by loving others, that can change the world. It truly can. I had a friend in seminary who often wore merch for his church. And this has been like 15 years ago, but he wore his church shirts so much that it just like become sort of burned in my memory. So across most of the shirts that he would wear to class, it had this tagline. It was the mission statement of his church, and it read, "Receive love, give love, repeat." That's it. That simple. Receive the love of God, which transforms us, and show that love to others. Again and again and again. Rinse, repeat. And you know what happens? Loving others well, it changes us too. It absolutely does. It makes us more empathetic, more compassionate, more patient, more understanding. You know what that sounds a lot like? Jesus. It sounds a lot like Jesus. The way that we love other people well, it transforms us as well, and it makes us become more like Christ. And we saw this in our examples of Jesus all throughout this gospel of Luke, this series throughout Lent, where time and time again, Jesus engaged with pagans and women and the disabled and the forgotten and the poor and the overlooked, all of those excluded and forgotten by society. And his care for them, his message of freedom and belonging, it quite literally changed people's lives. As they were restored back into community and included, it changed their lives. But I'm willing to bet that it also changed the hearts of those around him who witnessed, who were watching and learning from Jesus as well. Because friends, here's the thing, who we love changes us. I know I have been changed by the women who I have met who are residents in one of our local prisons. I've been changed by their stories and by their faith and by their inexplicable joy. I know some of you have been changed by the people that you've met on your street outreach. Well, you're right. The names of folks that you knew week after week because you went to their home and you served them where they were and you refused to overlook them. They were not forgotten. I've been changed by the testimonies of other neighbors here in Louisville, these testimonies that I've heard from our Clout partnership. And they live in neighborhoods that our city often likes to overlook, to divest from, to ignore. And I've heard these testimonies and these women that have changed me because they're just mothers who want the very same thing I do. They want safety and good schools for their kids. That's it. I want that too. Who we love changes us. Who we choose to be close to, who we choose to get to know, who we choose to see and to honor as fellow children of God, it changes us. And friends, as we receive this love from God and then we share it with other people around us, truly our communities will be transformed as well. That is the good news of Resurrection Sunday. The bottom line of the Easter message is change is possible. New life and goodness is possible, and we cannot stop believing in that and working toward that and hoping in that until Christ returns. So the instructions for the women at the tomb that morning, they become the instructions for us today, all of the disciples who would follow after. I call this the lessons from the empty tomb. The first one is this: keep looking for Jesus among the living. Doing a new thing and inviting us to be a part of it. Keep looking for Jesus, friends. Check yourself maybe this morning. Have you been looking for Jesus in all the wrong places? Have you been stuck in a place of despair or death? That you have failed to look for him in other places, inviting you to consider a new thing, a new hope. Look for Jesus in the eyes of every single person you encounter. In the eyes of the unhoused and the addicted and the immigrant and the children and the atheist and the nationalist and everybody. The next lesson is, and this is from the Dazzling Men. Remember what Jesus taught you. I should have said that. Lessons from the empty tomb from the Dazzling Men. Remember all that Jesus taught. Remember how he told you. This is what they say. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise? But you know, throughout the Gospels, when we look at the last week of Jesus' life, every time we see him teach, he says some version of, remember this. Remember all that I taught you. So keep looking for Jesus among the living. Remember all the things that Jesus taught. And finally, do not be afraid to go and tell others about it. That's what they say as well. Now go and tell the other disciples what you have seen. Friends, to be a people of hope, to be an Easter people, we have to keep looking for Jesus among the living, joining with the work that God is doing there. We have to remember that all that Jesus taught us, especially on the hardest days when our faith is shaken to its core, remember the words of Christ who promised to be with us, who promised not to leave us as orphans, but would come and send a spirit to be a comforter and an advocate to empower us. And at the end of that teaching, that discourse in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, and do not be afraid, but take heart, for in this world you will face suffering. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Friends, we must remember the teachings of Jesus. And we must not be afraid to go and tell other people about it. Because the world needs that witness right now. A witness of love and of hope and of healing, a witness that says change is possible and we refuse to give up on one another. Tell others of this love that you have found. Not only that, show them that same love and care. And in so doing, we will not lose hope. I truly believe that we will embody it everywhere we go. This is the good news of the gospel message this morning. It won't be like this forever. Christ has come, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And friends, his love truly will conquer all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for who you are and for this truth this morning. And we can't explain it. We don't always understand it. But God, the tomb is empty and Christ is alive, and we are so grateful. We are so grateful that this promise is new life for us, that if we follow Christ, though we might suffer and though we will die, we will also be raised again with Christ, just as he was. And so God, comfort us this morning, speak to our hearts, give us the courage that we need to not lose hope, to remember all that our faith has taught us. To give love, to receive love, to give love, and to repeat that over and over and over again. Because that's what it means to be the people of God. So thank you, Lord, for this promise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.